Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been born by me from before your birth, carried from the womb. Ever to your old age I am he, and to the grey hairs I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear. I will carry, and will save. To whom will you liken me and make me equal, and compare me that we may be alike? Those who lavish gold from the purse and weigh out silver in the scales hire a goldsmith and he makes it into a god. Then they fall down and worship. They lift it to their shoulders, they carry it, they set it in its place, and it stands there. It cannot move from its place. If one cries to it, it does not answer or save him from trouble. Remember this and stand firm. Recall it to mind, you transgressors. Remember the things of old. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. And in Hebrews, we read this, Hebrews 1. Long ago, at many times, and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. And making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be a father to him, and he shall be to me a son. This is the word of God. Amen. Shall we sit down? Thank you. In all honesty, I don't know what I'm going to say this morning. Today we were meant to start a new series on Prophet, Priest, King. And those of you that know me, who know my preaching, will know that I've got a 3,500 words typed out sermon all ready to go. It's logical. But you know what, to know something? I said this to Tori this morning. So when I prep sermons, I'm like, when am I ready, Rowan? 2 weeks in advance? I couldn't finish the sermon. I couldn't end it. And I think that God knew. So I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm going to take parts of what I was going to say. I'm going to try and mush it in together in some sort of stew. And actually, I've just been writing thoughts this morning, scribbling stuff down, and I've got bits of paper here, there, and everywhere. There's a song that I listen to. I like it a lot, and it starts with this. It's a response, and a call and response song. It says, do you feel the world is broken? We do. Do you feel the shadows deepen? We do. Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? We do. Do you wish that you could see it all made new? We do. Is all creation groaning? It is. Is a new creation coming? It is. Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? It is. Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? It is. And maybe I'll ask this very open question. What would you have God reveal to you this morning? What would you have God say to you? What would you have God minister to you, both as an individual, as a collective body, as people who mourn? And I was reminded of something. I wrote this down. What would you ask God to reveal this morning? Roger Bye was up a couple of weeks ago and he said this. God does not see you as a DIY project. He doesn't see you as something to toy with, us as something to toy with. There's something deeper. And I think what I need to hear this morning from God is an answer to this question. Is he sufficient? Is he everything we need? And in our series on Prophet, Priest, King, that's what I was going to start off with, that question. Prophet, Priest, King, we get the glimpses of it there in Hebrews 1. It was a set of offices that the reformers came up with. And the reason they came up with it was because at that time, there was a battle going on in the church. People were saying, you need to do this, you need to do that. This isn't good enough. You need to make more. You need to give more. You need to pray to this person. And they recognized that Jesus is prophet, he is priest, and he is king, and Jesus is all sufficient, that Jesus is enough, that Jesus is all that we need. And I think that's what we need to hear this morning. Is Jesus all that we need? The prophets are, God speaks to a prophet, and the prophet reveals that to the people. In the Old Testament, we read from Isaiah this morning, a prophet. God spoke, Isaiah revealed to the people. And the prophets revealed by three ways. They revealed by speaking, through their actions, or by writing it down. They spoke, they acted, or they wrote it down. So you think about the examples of Hosea. Hosea was called to marry a prostitute so that that would become a parable to the people. His actions were to become his words. He was then to name his children certain things. His actions became his words. Moses, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, God spoke, Moses shared that with the people. And the reason that God spoke to the prophets was to help them with their mission. It was to help keep them on track. It was to help them in times of trouble. It was to help them when they'd started to lose the path, when they'd lost their directions. God spoke out of kindness. When you read the Old Testament, there are warnings there. There are warnings and consequences. But it was to help keep the people of God on track. And one of the things that just speaks so strongly of, you know what? The prophets were required. The prophets, the Old Testament, Israel, the people of God, needed people to reveal God to them. The prophets were required in the old times, that without that, they would be lost. Do we require to hear the word of God this morning? We do. And that's why we've opened our scriptures. That's why we've opened our Bibles. And the question, another question that we will have to think through is, which voice will we listen to now? The Old Testament is filled with, you can listen to this person, you can listen to this person, or you can listen to this person. We can go with our grief to social media. We can go with our grief to YouTube. We can go with our grief to the newspapers. We can go with our grief to our work colleagues. What I want to share this morning, I hope, helps us in our grief. Because massively jumping around, we see there's no doubt the people of God in the Old Testament needed the prophets to speak. But they also knew that they weren't sufficient. Moses, that revered prophet, that man who met God on the mountain, says this in Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen. Just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God or see this great fire any more, lest I die. And the Lord said to me, they are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command." Jesus, we believe, is that prophet that was promised. When Jesus was baptized, the dove came down from heaven and sat upon him. John the Baptist, you know, the people of God were longing desperately for this prophet. When John the Baptist came along, baptizing people, the religious leaders of the day came to him and said, "Are you the Christ?" And he said, "No, I'm not." They said to him, "Are you the," what was the other one? "Elijah, are you Elijah?" And he said, "No, I'm not." And then they asked, "Are you the prophet?" And he said, "No." The people recognized that they needed someone to help them in their walk with God. At the Transfiguration, Jesus takes John and Peter up a mountain. It echoes a lot of Moses' story. And the Transfiguration happens. Elijah and Moses turn up, and a voice comes from heaven, and it says, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." Listen. This, I read that from Hebrews because it fits in with that whole prophet-priest thing, but that aspect, God as a father loved Jesus, and we're going to come back to that. God as a father loved Jesus as his son, his beloved son, and he said, "Listen to him." So what I want to do this morning, I want to look at an example of Jesus where we are today. Julian's already mentioned it. And if it's true, listen to it. Jesus and the death of Lazarus. I'm going to talk about just three things briefly. I'm going to talk about grief. I'm going to talk about what's the alternative. And I'm going to talk about the truth of what Jesus says. In the story, Lazarus has died. Jesus hasn't come. He actually delayed deliberately coming to see Mary and Martha. And Mary, I think it is, sees Jesus far off and meets him out of the town. And then Martha comes later on and Jesus weeps. He gets angry. And you know what that tells me? Our God walks towards those who are grieving. You know, last night was horrific. My wife, Tori, is a doctor, and sometimes because of that, people latch onto that for help. And Victoria was texting Tori a lot last night, right up to the last minutes, photographs, asking for prayer, looking for help. And, you know, shared the devastating news. And Tori phoned her, you know, like at 4:15, you know, like 25 minutes after Riri had died. And it was just screaming, and it was just, you know, grief being poured out. And the easiest thing would have been for Tori to just pass it on to Julian and Francis. The easiest thing would have been just to send a message. Our God doesn't just send a message. Our God walks towards grief. Julian and Francis could have said quite easily last night, "It's pretty late. We've been up in Aberdeen." But our example walks towards grief. And we don't avoid it. You know, when you're walking towards grief, it's like walking into a radioactive zone. You don't, it's contagious. It sticks to you. If you're a visitor here this morning, I think you will feel that, you know, you will possibly feel that, you know, you won't walk out without having been touched by the grief that we share. When you walk into parents who have just seen their daughter die, you walk out differently. When you've spoken to them, you walk out differently. And Jesus does exactly the same. And I love this. I've preached about this before and I'll preach it till I die. Jesus weeps. He gets angry. You know what? As a church, we're not apologizing for crying because Jesus cried. Jesus wept. We don't apologize. I spoke at my grandfather's funeral and I wept the entire way through it, and I felt embarrassed. I felt ashamed. We are not apologizing ever for grieving. We're not apologizing for crying because Jesus is our example, and Jesus wept. Jesus wept. I can't help but think, we were talking this morning, John and Victoria are new-ish to our church. They've been in Perth for a wee while. They've been floating a wee bit. I can't help but get the sense that they've been brought into us for a time such as this. We will grieve with them. We will cry with them. And we will never apologize for the snot, the tears, and the mess that we will become. because it is just like going into a radioactive zone. Because that's what Jesus does. He meets the sisters. He weeps. He froths up in anger. You know, Julian said, we won't blame God. Do you know what Mary and Martha did? They blamed Jesus. They said, if you'd been here, and Jesus is just like, just take it. I'll just take it. I'll just stand here. I won't say anything. I'm not going to answer your why question because it's not the right question. I don't know what the right question is, but I can take that because I know what I'm going to take later on. I'll stand here and I'll weep with you. We will weep, we will mourn, and we will never apologize for the mess that we're in. Because he's required. I can't help but think, what's the alternative? What's the alternative to Jesus? If there is no God, then this death has just been universe's way at laughing at us. Any other religion would maybe say, what have you done wrong? Jesus got that. You know, there was a disaster in Jesus' time and the religious leader, a tower fell and killed people. And they said, you know, who sinned? They would say, you know, whose fault was this? Those words in Hebrews, this is how we can walk with God through this. That's why I read up to that bit, which you might have thought was a bit weird. And now here we are. This is how God identifies with Jesus. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son, a father and a son, a parent and a child. God knows. God can sympathize. He's walked through this. He's not uncaring. He's not unfeeling. He feels it massively. Jesus doesn't stop there, though. He asks possibly the most insensitive question I can imagine at a time when these sisters' brother had died. He basically says, do you believe in Jesus? How offensive is that? Because he says, I am the resurrection, I am the way, the truth, the life. Jesus says, in grief, in death, in despair, he's more than that. In death, in grief, in despair, he is more than that. He says he is life. He says he is God. And in those words, Jesus moves from being a prophet who reveals the way of God, and he moves to being the prophet that says, I am the way. That's why Jesus is the prophet. He doesn't just tell us the way. He doesn't just show us the way. He becomes the way. He is the way. He is God. And he packages this all up in resurrection. What is resurrection? Resurrection isn't consolation. Resurrection is everything by the powers of heaven coming to earth, being made better and restored. And that's what Jesus promises in his resurrection. That's how we can have hope. I'm going to finish with this. We read in Isaiah 46. Let me just find it there. I'm looking for. Even to your old age I am he, and to grey hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. I will carry and I will save. Jesus, as the prophet, promises to carry. He promises to carry us in our grief. This is towards the end of The Lord of the Rings. You all expected that. Sam says this, I made a promise, Mr. Frodo, a promise. Don't you leave him, Samwise Gamgee. And I don't mean to. And Frodo says this in reply, But what about when there was only one set of footprints on the slopes of Mount Doom? Sam, my dear Mr. Frodo, it was then I carried you. God promises to carry us. He promises to carry John and Victoria. He is the God who knows. He is the God who speaks truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Shall we pray? Let's stand.